You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Just 24 hours ago, Joe Biden, the president of the United States, told us that people who don't support him are the single biggest security threat that faces this country. Not Al-Qaeda, not the Chinese military, not the Mexican drug cartels, not even Russia, which we are told daily is the wellspring of all evil. No, you. You're the biggest threat because you don't vote Democrat. As Joe Biden put it, quote, this MAGA crowd is really the most extreme political organization that's existed in American history. The most extreme, the worst, worse than the Klan, worse than the Nazis, worse than the anarchists who murdered an American president, worse than anyone ever. That's you. You're an existential threat to the country you were born in.
Those are the remarks from Tucker Carlson last night, and it sets the stage for what we have coming up the next 2 hours. Welcome aboard. This is May 6, 2022. 22. But my God, in some ways it seems like we're in warp time. We are, of course, live streaming. Whenever we're on the air live, we are live streaming at rumble.com. You can simply go to rumble.com, enter in the search engine, Larry Connors USA, all one word, please, all one word. And it will take you immediately into the studio with us right now as we're on the air. Now, if you're listening to this on podcast, we will not be there. But a podcast will be up a little bit later today or sometime tomorrow. Rumble's got a lot of stuff on its hands, but they'll put it up. They've got other programs we've already had up there. I can tell many folks that can't watch it live now are watching later. We appreciate either way. We appreciate you telling others and sharing with others what we're doing here. This program specifically for the St. Louis market area is broadcast at KXEN 1010 AM and 100.7 FM. There are three or four other stations in this network, but during my time, the other stations will not carry our program and will not carry Charlie Kirk. Not going to get into the reasons. I'm not trying to make a point of it, except that if you're going to listen to Larry Connors USA on your radio, it's got to be at 1010 AM or 100.7, or you can always use our KXEN1010AM.com app. That app is great. Simply put it on your phone, play it back to the Bluetooth on your car. It's a digital signal, no static breakup, things of that nature. All right, enough of the technical stuff. Here we have, as Tucker Carlson was pointing out, President Biden saying the worst threat in this country, the worst terrorist, the fear we should have, is the MAGA people, MAGA. And what does that mean, MAGA? That's just make America great again. Who is not for making America great again? Well, even Democrats would like to see the country better, wouldn't they? I hope. Unless they actually want to run us into the ground to be Marxists and communists, they don't want it to be better. But how do MAGAs stack up with what is going to happen, what is planned for this Sunday, which is Mother's Day? Assaults, especially upon Catholic churches, because of the released document of a draft, how the Supreme Court's going to rule on a case involving Roe v. Wade that might end up overturning Roe v. Wade. It does not overturn Roe v. Wade. It basically sends it back to the states for the states to decide. It's a difference. But don't let the facts get in the way of your assault of a Catholic church, for those of you who are planning it. And then we had the Border Patrol issue and all the illegals coming in the country on a constant stream. And it's going to increase. That's not a threat to our country? Well, of course it is. And, of course, we're looking at what's happening with Ukraine still. It's amazing the resilience of the Ukrainians. It appears now that the U.S. is giving them special intel. I've got Dakota Wood from the Heritage Foundation joining me later. We're going to talk about How much intel are we giving them? Should we help more? And where do we draw the line? And how much longer could this go? Is there an end in sight? And then, speaking of ends in sight, Jen Psaki is, she's out of here. She's done. They've introduced a new White House spokeswoman. They might as well have said, here's our latest communist comrade, the way she's identified by some details we have behind the scenes. We'll get into that. We're also going to get into so many other things that I can't even begin to go down the list right now. Oh, you'll get to hear from James Carville, one of my favorites. I want to talk to you on my Louisiana language. I'll tell you what I want to say. Democrats are losing. Oh, you want to hear this. Let your friends know. Share it. Larry Connors. Lock and load. Ready. On the right. For years, I've told you, be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. That's because I know the excellent work Wellington does when it comes to making your home, your business, even hospitals safe. See, recently I asked Wellington to check a relative's home. The relative had been constantly sick. Doctors couldn't find a cause. I asked Tom Wellington, please check the house. After extensive testing, Wellington could rule out mold and other air and water toxins. Well, that was a major relief. And the negative results gave doctors added information. So when I encourage you to call Wellington, I mean it. Wellington, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the Better Business Bureau, Missouri and Illinois. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Mustang Sally. Guess you better slow up than Mustang down.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
We are very concerned because we already have an unprecedented situation at the border. It is a crisis about to become a catastrophe. Roughly half the people are now being turned away under Title 42, which is a public health authority. So just by logic, you would say, well, that means twice as many people are going to come. However, it's likely to be worse than that because the traffickers all over the world are telling people you can now come into the United States. That's why we've seen higher levels already. So instead of 8,000 people a day, you're right, some predict as many as 18,000. This will totally overwhelm the Border Patrol and keep them from being able to do their important job of both dealing with illegal migration, but also illegal drugs. So it's a huge problem. And what the administration has said in response will not help with regard to deterring people. It will only help with regard to processing people to get them into our country more quickly, which is not the solution.
It is not the solution. It is not the solution to simply let more illegals inside the country, but that's what this administration is built upon doing. It is like you're in a boat on the ocean, and you already have two or three holes in it. You're trying to stop it. You've got a foot on one. You got a foot on the other. The other, you can reach out and reach a hand. Now there's another one at the far end. I mean, you played Twister before. You remember how you're trying to cover all the spots? Hopefully you got someone else on board, they can get that one. And then there's another one. And then you got somebody on board, actually on board, firing bullets into the bottom of the boat, just firing and opening more holes up. That is exactly what this administration has been doing ever since Biden came into office. You can't deny these numbers, and yet they want to act like you're just too stupid out there to understand, aren't you? You really don't know how math is done, do you? First of all, you don't know that math involves critical race theory. Yeah, you didn't know that. That 2 plus 2 actually equals critical race theory, not 4. Because, I mean, if it's 4, if it's a black 4, white 4, 1 4, 2 4, 3 4, I mean, what? This is part of the reason why Florida threw out a lot of their math textbooks, because they were trying to shovel that kind of nonsense into an education of children, not give them an education, but give them an indoctrination. And that's what they've been trying to do, the general public. Thank God we have Americans who are seeing through this. Even Democrats. You're going to hear in the next hour from Jim Carville. I always love having Jim Carville on the air. Democrat strategist, he is the reason Bill Clinton got into the White House. I know how to get you in there. I know what we're going to do. And right now, he's saying that I think the Democrats, they're just running around. They want to talk vegan and stuff like people don't care about vegan. I guarantee you, Jim Carville doesn't care about vegan. He's from Louisiana, New Orleans, and they love crawfish and gumbo and all kinds of stuff in gumbo and gator. I mean... He's been knocking on the door from outside. They apparently think he has no value, no use anymore, and they're really bad about not letting him in. And I'm happy because they might actually change their tactics. I don't think they can this fast for 2022, but they could for 2024. But back to what we're facing right now, my God, assuming we have a country still by 2024, if we do not get control of the House and maybe even pick up additional seats in the Senate, or certainly don't lose any, we will not be in 2024 the U.S. of A. We will be U.S. territory of Mexico, or whatever country wants to come across. They've been holding hearings, as they have for some time, getting this... If I call this guy the brightest bulb in the White House or the administration, it's going to tell you the rest of them must have all blown up already, or they left the room, or they have no juice whatsoever. Every time this guy opens his mouth, he just gets mealy-mouthed. Well, I'm glad you asked that question. They've all been taught this kind of thing. You know, there's a particular hotel chain. I'm not going to name it. I have high respect for it, and I like it. And they try to train people that anytime you ask for something, and they do it for you, even if it's well and above what they normally would do, but they do it for you, and you thank them, which I hope you would, their answer is it's basically DNA for the company is to say, my pleasure. It's my pleasure. And in their head, it might have been a hell of a lot of work to make it come together and happen, but they're going to say, it's my pleasure. You may know the place I'm talking about, but I'm not, and there may be others that are now adopting it, but I know this one done it for years. And I picked up on it first when my daughter actually worked for him a period of time, and she was using it around the house, but it just became so ingrained. I said, honey, can you bring me a cup of coffee? Be my pleasure. What do you? Well, I would hope so, but you don't need to tell me that. So anyway, these hearings that are underway and what we're trying to learn from them. You were hearing in the beginning there, Bob Portman. Senator Portman is Republican of Ohio. Now, that is not a border state, but he's talking very directly about how this is a true crisis. He said, and it's not going to get any better, and he points out something that is very critical. I'd like to run a portion of that one more time. I'd like to hear Senator Portman one more time because there's a piece I really want to hone in on because this is an underlying line that is going to come back to bite all of us in the arse. Listen to this, please.
We are very concerned because we already have an unprecedented situation at the border. It is a crisis about to become a catastrophe. Roughly half the people are now being turned away under Title 42, which is a public health authority. So just by logic, you would say, well, that means twice as many people are going to come. However, it's likely to be worse than that because the traffickers all over the world are telling people you can now come into the United States. That's why we've seen higher levels already.
Right there. People from all over the world. So there's no doubt and verifies we've had dozens from Europe identified as coming across the border. We've had dozens from the Middle East. They may actually be coming here to make a new life for themselves and their family. And they can't get on a plane and fly in, or they can't go through, they don't want to go through, legal immigration takes too long. And they can't claim asylum because they're not facing a threat where they are. But in the midst of them, I will guarantee you, there's another Cajun for you from the years past as a comedian, Justin Wilson, basically. You know, I will guarantee you that mixed in, not with just with the drugs and drug trafficking and human trafficking, often young girls and young boys to be sold, if not already booked for sex dens across the nation, there will also be jihadists. Jihadists who will be coming in here and they will be waiting for a particular call on a certain day, and they will go full blast with their carrying out of an attack at a police station, a synagogue, a school, a baseball game, wherever they can go and carry out such an attack. They may all happen on one day. They may be spread out over several days. They may have some attacks happen, and then as responders and everybody show up, they follow up with another attack. If that doesn't scare you, you're not really concerned about security of our nation, because those coming across are not being properly vetted. We airlifted many from Afghanistan who were not qualified to have a special visa permit. They apparently had no evidence that they had been supporting and helping our troops while we were there, but they got inside the plane. They got on the plane, and last report, the maximum number I've seen of special visa applied members of Afghanistan who were going to be allowed to be flown out because they did help us, and knowing that if they stayed behind, they and their families would be executed by the Taliban. Maybe up to, I'll give you an even bigger number than I've heard. Let's say 10% of those we actually flew from Afghanistan to the U.S. of A., placing them at different places around the country, starting with military bases, but not really putting them under lock and key. They can come and go, call an Uber, go wherever they want. And that's fine if they're not a threat and they deserve to be here. But if only 10% of the ones we brought in, and Biden's wanting to bring in 800,000 total or more, if we're not properly vetting them, the ones we're actually bringing in, much less throwing the welcome mat down all across the southern border, do you think this country is going to remain safe for very long? Really? And we got the border wall down there. It's got gaps in it where it was started by Trump, but then he couldn't finish it. Well, it should have been finished, but Biden won't do it. The materials are there. And, of course, if it's not enough that migrants are just coming in packs of bought and paid for families, people to act like a family, to compose a family of $89 apiece, you can become a family, will walk you right to the border agent. With so many coming in one place, the agents had to swarm in to help process them, you know, try to identify them in some way. And while they're doing that, we're down the road where there's a gap in the wall. Well, you know what happens. There are your so-called getaways. And they have no idea of how many, quote, getaways, unless they spot them and they can't get to them. That's considered a getaway. The others, in their mind, I guess they don't exist. But some of that could be stopped if we just finish the damn wall. Listen to Congressman Issa at the border on San Diego, Republican from California.
Behind me, you see these gaps on both sides of the fence there. If not for the executive order, this would have been done within a few weeks. The materials were on site. The vendor had already been paid. As a matter of fact, it cost money to not finish this. And now it costs Border Patrol agent more 24-7 here because of this opening.
Yeah, I know it sounded windy. It's a hot day, a lot of wind blowing around, but he said, look at this border wall behind me. It's fully open. Let's go back inside to some of the hearings. You heard earlier Senator Portman pointing out as to how bad the situation is. He's been also at those hearings questioning Mayorkas about how many are coming across, and the numbers are just everywhere. Senator Rick Scott, a Republican of Florida, said people from around my state, they don't believe at all the border is under control. They don't believe you're doing anything to make the border secure. I don't think there's any question you're not enforcing the law. Portman has said the same thing. Senator Shelley Moore Capito, a Republican of Wyoming, said when you say we have operational control of the border, is that actually disinformation? I love it. Where is that disinformation, Secretary? And then you get this question from Senator Hovind, Republican of North Dakota, which is right in your face.
Why don't you enforce the tools you have? Why don't you enforce the Remain in Mexico policy? Why don't you enforce the Third Safe Country policy? Why don't you keep Public Health Order 42 in place? And why don't you finish building the wall so that your border, Customs and Border Patrol people and the Border Patrol can actually get control of the border? Why not enforce the laws that you have now instead of sit there and ask for new ones?
Senator, I'm grateful for your question because we are indeed enforcing the laws.
The statistics would say otherwise. 1.7 million illegal encounters last year, more than 1 million in the first 6 months of this year. Are you going to sit there and pretend that's not going on and say that you're actually enforcing the law?
Oh, we most certainly are, Senator.
Yeah, we most certainly are, Senator. Bring me a bottle of Jack, because I want to sit around and listen to the rest of this. I might need three or four bottles of Jack as he tries to explain that, yeah, we're enforcing the law. You lie out of that mealy mouth. You're not enforcing the damn law, and you know you're not. Where is the truth minister? Where's our minister of disinformation? Oh, that's right. They work for the Department of Homeland Security, the same one Mayorkas runs. So they're not going to be investigating him. But there is a concern coming up this Mother's Day, especially around Catholic churches. That story's still to come.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
One final and very important point regarding this mass immigration coming across our border illegally. I want to remind you, especially after Title 42 gets dropped, the majority of Americans, this is a Fox News poll, but it was conducted with a Democrat strategist on board as well, 63% of the voters want Biden to keep Title 42 in place. 63% overall. 77% are Republicans. You break it down. 57% swing votes. 49% Democrats. In other words, half the Democrats say keep Title 42. You're going to ruin our land, our country, and take our jobs probably in the process. As more and more illegals come across, they're going to take lower paying jobs, starting with a less skilled worker, pushing people out of work. Work their way up the chain, take over other jobs, or they'll come and take the job that might require more skill. They learn it quickly, and then you're out of a job because they'll do it for cheaper. But the White House ignores that. Same thing, the White House still has not condemned any threats against U.S. Supreme Court justices, their families, their homes, or other facilities supporting abortion or just places of worship. Let me get this clear to you. Saski is dealing with some protests already at the homes of six Supreme Court justices, three in Virginia, three in Maryland. Those are planned protests as announced by Ruth Sinus. That's what they call themselves. Ruth Sinus. Reference to Ruth Bader Ginsburg, the liberal icon justice who was in support of women's choice, women's right. But she also, while agreeing with Roe v. Wade, was not in favor of it, said it went too far. That doesn't make any difference. These folks are going to use her name because they think that'll help them. And Saski, when asked about the actions of some of these protesters being extreme, vandalism, violence reported. She said, well, we want it, of course, to be peaceful, and certainly the president would want people's privacy protected. And said, I don't think we should lose a point here. the people are, like the president would recognize, they have a lot of passion, a lot of fear, a lot of sadness for many. Many across this country, from what they saw in that leaked document, they're sad. And she said, this isn't about the leak, it's about women's health care. Well, then riddle me this. Why is Ruth Sinas and other groups joining together? This was include some Latino groups, and by survey, most Latinos are anti-abortion. They stick with their religion, which is, that's the first sin, or at least among the first sins, abortion. But now they're talking about, just today, Antifa saying, let's all join together and attack a pregnancy center. In fact, they apparently did attack a pregnancy center early this morning in Portland and wrote FCPS, Crisis Pregnancy Center, bashing the windows of the facility. You know what a crisis pregnancy center is? That's for the health of the woman, in case she's carrying a baby, has a crisis, and she needs help right away. Maybe medical help. Maybe not quite that much, but either way, the mom wants her child. It's her choice to want the child, but it's not acceptable if she wants a child, then we're not going to go give her any allowances. We'll treat her like everybody else, because if it's a woman's health issue, and yet you might also be supporting those who are for abortion, then we're going to put you in that category. We're going to get into that in more detail this next hour. If you go to a Catholic church, and in fact, if you go to church at all this Sunday, this Mother's Day, you need to be aware of your surroundings at all times. Different Catholic masses scheduled at different parts of the day might break up any attempts to cause mayhem, but the main mass of the day, they'll probably look to target in some cases. Coming up, Ukraine still fighting the Russians, and how are we helping them or not? Ackerman Toyota believes when you need service, you want genuine parts, certified mechanics, no hidden cost. You get all of that with Ackerman Toyota. Plus, if you're ready for a new car or pre-owned, see what Ackerman has on the lot or what's coming. Ackerman Toyota, Hampton and Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
My next guest we've had on numerous times before. I respect his opinion and his perspective, and he's with the Heritage Foundation. 20-plus years for the U.S. Marines, retired Lieutenant Colonel Dakota Wood. Semper Fi again, sir.
Hoorah. Always great to be with you.
Hoorah. So, got a lot of ground here to cover. First of all, this is news just breaking, coming across now. I don't know if you've had a chance to see it, that Biden's going to announce another security assistance package to Ukraine in the coming days, something like $100 million. He's speaking to G7 leaders Sunday.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's that's real money. It's not as much as $33 billion that's been promised over the next 6 months or so. War is a ravenous beast. It's just going to consume fuel and ammunition, and I think probably following his conversation with the premier there in Germany, where the two of them went forward together and saying that the West will continue to support Ukraine in its war against Russia. So we're seeing the escalation of this horizontally in its tempo, in its brutality. And I think as we had discussed earlier, during the year, that once you pull the trigger on that first shot, you just cannot predict where war is going to go. Well, go ahead.
Let me ask this. Monday is the victory day for Russia, and there's talk that they might be holding their victory parade in Mariupol, the seaside city in Ukraine, where they've been bombing the hell out of and destroying.
Yeah, I doubt that, but there are the reports of their nuclear sniffer planes that they have and we have and all that have been seen in the skies at the rehearsal for that parade, which will likely be in Moscow. And so, again, it's the signaling, this kind of nuclear saber rattling. You know, the West, especially there in the European Union, is threatening to cut off all imports of Russian energy in total, and then also expanding the sanctions to include, you know, more of Russia's banking sector in an attempt to economically isolate.
I got to ask you, why are
going to do in response to that?
I'm very sorry, sir. I have to ask you. I made that point repeatedly. Why do we drip sanctions? Why don't you say these are in the toolbox, and before the first shot's fired, you activate anything, all of them will hit you at one time. We're not going to drip sanctions against
them. Right. Well, yeah, but that's been the response from the White House to everything.
I know. Why?
It's tepid. It's incremental because they're risk averse. They're absolutely risk averse. You know, that when Biden came into office, everything that Trump had done was bad. We weren't going to be involved in any foreign conflicts at all, which means you have to ignore what's going on in the rest of the world and where U.S. interests are at in the world. And they have just been mortified at the prospect that the Biden team will find itself back in one of these conflicts, right, and then suffer, you know, all the criticism that would come from that. So they have a huge domestic policy agenda, you know, combating climate change, introducing critical race theory into kindergarten classes.
Lieutenant Colonel Wood, it sounds to me like you're warning your child repeatedly, you do that again, you're going to get a spanking.
Exactly, you know, and you never take action, and so it emboldens the child, it emboldens tyrants. You know, what North Korea's had 13 missile launches this year alone. The southern border has seen 2 million illegal immigrants come into the country
from around the world.
Title 42.
From around the world.
Then we're going to have another 18,000 a day. So it's this risk averseness of the administration that actually makes conditions worse, not better.
All right, there's a report that we're giving Ukraine real-time battlefield intel.
Mm-hmm.
That coming out of the New York Times, and that we might have helped them actually sink their flagship in the Russia Black Sea with that intel. Daniel Davidson, the Federalist, raised the question, is it way too much to ask that Congress debate and vote on whether to authorize a U.S. march to war that's now already well underway?
Yeah, well, they could do that in a heartbeat just by refusing funding. I mean, you know, Congress controls purse strings. They could have hearings at any point. But how many Democrats do you know of are willing to hold the White House accountable for anything from Hunter Biden's, you know, involvement in you know, all kinds of notorious schemes with Ukrainians and everybody else, Iran, China? You know, the media isn't touching that at all. So it's purely in the hands of Congress to bring to light anything that they would want. And since right now the Democrats control Congress, you know, you can see where that's going to play out politically.
To that extent, also, the health of Putin with cancer, supposedly. I haven't seen any updates on if he's had the surgery or is undergoing it or various treatments. How much of that might have played in his mind before all this started, and maybe something along that line unstabilized him compared to what others had seen of him in the past, those who met him in person?
Right. Well, you know, it's pure speculation. So if he is, you know, has some kind of a mortal, you know, fatal illness or what have you, does he want to go out with a bang, literally and figuratively?
Yeah.
Does he see, want to, you know, be seen as a successor to Tsar Nicholas II? But even before these rumors of some kind of cancer treatment, he had been saying for years that he was very angered by the expansion of NATO, that he was very angered by what appeared to be encirclement, you know, threats to Russian interests. He didn't like the fact that Ukraine was tilting westward and wanted to join the European Union and NATO and others. So it's not like what's occurring is all of a sudden something out of the blue. It just happens to be coincidental that while this is going on and Putin is reportedly dealing with some kind of, you know, problem, that these are coming together. Does one exacerbate the other? Perhaps. But again, it's pure speculation until Vladimir Putin says, yes, I've got, you know, cancer cells in my head or something.
And to that extent, it's also speculation if he's making the decisions or not, right?
Right, but I think he probably is. I think those kinds of rumors would come out pretty quickly. But, yeah, we just can't discount his nuclear warnings, his threats, because it's really in the mind of Putin how long this conflict goes and how brutal it continues to become.
All right, let me turn to something else. So General Milley was a chief of staff, was testifying back in 2018 before the Senate Armed Services Committee, saying that we need to at least have 500,000 troops, I'm talking about U.S. troops, 500,000 or more. And so he's just been asked most recently again, is it still we require an army greater than that? And he said, I think we need a bigger army. But apparently Army Chief of Staff McConville admitting in a Senate hearing that the army numbers are too small as it is, and they're having trouble bringing more folks into the military, mainly because of wokeness and culture and critical race theory and everything else that's thrown at them.
Well, I wouldn't say mainly, but I think that's a contributor. Right now, 75% of American youth between 17 years old and 25 are ineligible for military service because of obesity, health problems, legal records, criminal records, and substance abuse. So of that 25% remaining, how many have an inclination to serve their country? When a lot of this debate, now back to your point, what's there worth defending? You know, why should we be proud of America if we're inherently racist and these sorts of things, right? And so you have a lot of these factors that cause people to not consider joining the military. It's not prized across much of our society. And then you have all these other health and criminal problems that just come out from the American youth cohort today. So it makes it very difficult. So, yes, the U.S. Army is at 480,000. They are dropping their in-strength goals by 12,000 because they can't meet recruiting objectives. They can't find enough young people to join the Army. And so you'll see the Army get smaller instead of bigger. And yet what we've got is a world that's getting more troubled, not less so.
In the last minute here, sir, I personally take great pride whenever I see young men deciding, or women, deciding to join the military or police. And I'm sure as a retired lieutenant colonel in the Marines, you feel the same.
My son is just over halfway through Marine Corps boot camp. He's under there at Parris Island, South Carolina, and he wants to go infantry. He's going to go to the School of Infantry afterwards. So, you know, at a times when
is he going to go OCS, Officer Candidate School as well, I assume?
Well, I don't know if he's going to go down that right now. He's a meat and potatoes kind of guy, and he loves that life that he's chosen, the huge challenge of being something bigger than himself. So I think whether you're joining the police department, fire department, the U.S. Military, how much more noble could it be, right?
Yes.
When the challenges are the greatest, when these forces, both domestic, civilian, and military, external, are getting less support from greater portions of society, right? That these young men and women step forward and they want to participate. They want to serve their country and they want to be part of a team. I mean, I think it's awesome.
You set a great example for your son, the few, the proud, the Marines.
Thank you.
And
that's it.
When he gets to wear that blood stripe down that blue uniform, give him my Semper Fi. Give him my Semper Fi. And to you, sir.
June 10th.
Congratulations. You bet. That's great. That is outstanding. I love to hear that story. Coming up, more on the Supreme Court debacle over this last week, the leak, and the threats against Catholic churches this Sunday. Hey, let's do lunch at Cafe Napoli 3 in St. Charles. That's right, Cafe Napoli 3, now open for lunch and Sunday brunch. So let's plan lunch or Sunday brunch at Cafe Napoli in St. Charles. Of course, you always get great food and service at each Napoli location, Clayton, Town and Country, St. Charles. But let me remind you again, for lunch or Sunday brunch, Cafe Napoli 3 in St. Charles.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Well, of course, the breach of the security of the Supreme Court this week obviously has made ripple effect news. I want to share an opinion piece written for CNN, and where they're going to place some of this blame, you're going to get a good idea right away. This is a legal analyst and Supreme Court biographer, Joan Biskupic. I apologize if I'm mispronouncing, and I'm not trying to. She says the Chief Justice of the U.S. is only as powerful as the individual who wears the title and his times. You talk again trying to put pressure on members of the Supreme Court. That's what this article starts to do in that very moment. Judge Roberts, John Roberts, of course, appointed by a Republican. You know that. Well, at this point in his Supreme Court stewardship, she writes, John Roberts appears suddenly ineffectual. Ineffectual, actually, is what she says. Gone is a confident jurist whose views prevailed across the board, the man who was all controlling of all operations at the court building. The disclosure by Politico of a first draft of an opinion in the most important case, abortion case in decades, suggests that Roberts has lost control on a significant portion of American law. Roberts apparently has not joined a resounding reversal of the 73 Roe v. Wade decision with the repercussions for privacy rights it would follow. Now, that is correct because the draft opinion of Alito showed Amy Coney Barrett and Kavanaugh with him, did not show Roberts had made a decision. I'm looking deeper down into this thing, and it's trying to share it with you as I'm seeing it for the first time, but Roberts said the courts is investigating the disclosure, but the writer says the scope of and the resources for that effort are unclear, and whether findings of an internal review will be made public. How extensively will justices, their law clerks, other employees be questioned? Will emails and phone records of the workforce be scrutinized? Should employees begin hiring lawyers themselves to avoid any missteps in the investigation? And the next question could be, she doesn't have it here, but what about the justices themselves? Did a liberal justice, I'm not going to name anyone, you can put a name in if you want, but did one of them authorize or tell or direct or intentionally leave it laying out, knowing that someone would pilfer it and run with it? Now, Senator John Lee of Utah said the other day that he had worked in the Supreme Court. Numerous guys have, Senator Cruz being one of them as well, too, as a clerk, and pointing out that probably only 50 people in the entire building, in the entire Supreme Court building, that would include, I guess, the justices, actually would have access to any opinion written by one of them that then they could take and disperse to the general public or media as they choose. The writer for CNN analyst continues that in Roberts' first public appearance since the Monday leak, this is in Atlanta yesterday, I kept trying to find full audio of it, but it was never a good sound quality, so I couldn't use it. There would probably be some surface, but not now, at least while I was looking. She said the Chief Justice called the disclosure of the draft opinion absolutely appalling and suggested one bad apple had tainted public perceptions of the court's workforce. And she adds that Roberts, age 67, has rarely been in a defensive posture from his youth in Indiana prep school, then Harvard, then prestigious judicial clerkships, service in the Reagan administration. Roberts, the first in his class achiever, a star appellate advocate before the high court, and then in 2005, of course, President George W. Bush appointed him to the bench. He became the youngest Chief Justice in more than 20 years. She says based on oral arguments and pending cases, he would be with the majority to expand Second Amendment gun rights, enhance public funding of religious education, allow more prayer in public school meetings. But at this moment, she said, The usually steady Roberts is in chaos. That's how America first saw him, as to be a leader of the conservatives. His testimony before Judiciary Committee, they said, was like watching Roberts on television. Janet Malcolm of the New Yorker wrote, watching Roberts on TV during the hearings was like watching one of the radiantly wholesome heroes that Jimmy Stewart and Henry Fonda played. He's out of the question such a man be denied a place on the Supreme Court. He got approved 78-22. But he still holds one vote. We don't know which side he's going to go down on. Democrats loved him because he supported Obamacare, switching his vote near the end of the internal debate and joining the four justices on the left wing. She is right on several points. Roberts is not the man he was when he took that first oath of office. Stand by for the second hour.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.